passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. 2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left.
Way back. Gone. All right. Welcome back to another Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. This is your host, Jeff Ponce. I am live and direct with Dylan White, the reigning, still reigning NFBC main event champion. How's it going, Dylan? How have your teams been over the first week or so of play here?
Not great. The back-to-back overall championships is definitely in jeopardy. Not great, but it's been a week. This is the, it started Thursday and it's now Thursday, so. You know, I like to hope that it's still early.
It's still extremely early, Dylan. The good players haven't even emerged yet. We don't know, you know, we don't know anything yet. Just remember that. Just keep that in mind. That being said, the first thing we're going to talk about a few things this week, but the first thing that I think we're going to dive into here are maybe some regrets, you know. No regrets. It's actual regrets. So not necessarily regrets as much as players that over the first week, role, situation, stuff they've shown early that we're excited about and, you know, hopefully are able to acquire in one way, shape, or form, either prior to this podcast or immediately before its release. So Dylan, sort of, I guess the other thing we're going to talk about too is our breakout teams. Want to advertise this early plug. It's always important to do an early plug, Dylan. Dylan, myself, and Matt Eddy, for the second consecutive year, all three of us did a breakout team. All MILB players, it has to be specific to position. So you can't just pick 10 guys and say, hey, these are the guys I'm throwing out there. Five pitchers. A catcher, first baseman, second baseman, third baseman. And by the way, second baseman and third baseman and first baseman, really hard to kind of find in the minor leagues. It feels like there's not like a ton of prospects, especially guys that you feel are going to break out at those positions. So it really narrows that down where like I could have picked 15 shortstops. You know, I could have picked however many outfielders. And then pitchers, you know, there's plenty of pitchers out there to pick five. So that was a little bit less difficult. But go and check those out up on the website. Dylan and I are going to talk, not through the whole team, but I think just some highlights and some players that maybe we had in common or just players that we're excited about or potentially have decided to roster in one way, shape, or form, whether it be trades, waivers, drafts, all that good stuff that's happened over the last couple of months. All right. Intro is over. Let's jump into it, Dylan. I'm going to give you first pick. Who is a player that you're having some regrets on or a guy that, you know, you're excited about?
I think I talked about it last week, but the guy I was excited about and he did not let me down was Shota Imanaga of the Cubs. He debuted at Wrigley against the hapless Colorado Rockies. So maybe take that with a grain of salt, but he did exactly, he exceeded expectations. He had 9 strikeouts, no walks, 6 innings, just looked quite dominant from the left side. So I hope that is a portentous of what's to come from him. I talked about how like he could be a whip guy under 1.2, the ERA under 4, K per 9 around 9.5. Like that's kind of a reasonable ceiling, a reasonable like 75th percentile outcome. And that's like getting Joe Ryan. So he's a bit older, so for Dynasty, you know, he may not be as tantalizing as in redraft, but, you know, in redraft, if you get like a Joe Ryan in the 10th round, which is kind of where Imanaga was going, that's very good. So I have Imanaga on a lot of teams. I have him in Dynasty. This maybe is confirmation bias, but I really liked what I saw. Not sure who his next opponent is. I'm sure it's going to be a stronger offensive opponent than the Colorado Rockies have shown thus far. But, you know, that'll be kind of more of the real test. But I really liked what I saw. He kind of endeared himself to the Cub faithful, it seemed like. He was getting fired up when he got some strikeouts to end innings, which I know the fan base likes to see. So, you know, it was good to see. So nice major league debut from Shota Imanaga.
Yeah, I think that's a good name as well to throw out there, because I feel like sometimes with some of these Japanese imports that don't necessarily have like the level of hype that you saw with Yamamoto or with Otani or what we'll see with Suzuki when he comes over. You know, I think they can sometimes fall a little bit in that initial draft and then the board adjusts to it. We also sort of did something similar, I think, with Senga. And even the early returns with Senga, I think people panicked a little bit. And then after that first month, he really did adjust and was one of the better pitchers in the National League. Fortunately, he's hurt now and dealing with some shoulder stuff. But overall, I think Imanaga is a great name to call out there. Joe Ryan is a really good comp. But it's from the left side. So it's sort of, you know, a fastball that doesn't get by in velocity. It's only sitting 92, 93, 92.5, I think was what the average was. But if you look at vertical movement and then you factor in his release, I mean, it was in whatever 2.2% higher, 14% higher than the average in terms of vertical movement on the four seam fastball. But from that low release height, that's a great combination that almost makes that vertical movement all that more important when you know that it's above the average from a much lower release side from the left side. So you factor that in. A left-handed sweeper is kind of an interesting pitch. You don't see a ton of those. And he's got the split finger fastball, curveball as well. So he's mixing in a bunch of different shapes. I think that Imanaga is a great call out and really, really interesting. I'm going to go with my first player here. And he's kind of, for me, in some ways, a blast from the past. And I do regret not being more aggressive with Garrett Crochet. It's funny because I had sort of written Crochet off as, all right, I guess I was wrong, and he's going to be a really good reliever, and he'll be a reliever for a bunch of years, and he'll have some injury concerns. And then this year, you know, it seems like there's something maybe positive going on with the White Sox. We had actually heard something similar to this where the pitching development has actually made some strides. So I don't know how much that factors in with Crochet and, you know, Brian Bannister being there and some of those things, but we've really seen the best of him, and it's kind of what I was dreaming on at Tennessee. And I can remember prior to me coming to Baseball America, over that 2020 year, I did a bunch of videos with now Duke baseball assistant coach, Brian Sikowski. But the two of us did a bunch of videos about draft prospects, and Crochet was a player that we both really, really liked and thought, hey, if this guy can start, he's got unbelievable stuff. Well, we're seeing that now. The four-seam fastball has, you know, just been absolutely nasty, sitting 96.8 miles an hour. So you're seeing 95 to 98 on a regular basis. You know, sort of decent vertical movement as well, considering how fast it is. And once again, a guy left-handed that throws that hard. It's a really good slider. You know, gets a good amount of horizontal break. He's getting like 15 inches. So he's getting some sweep on that at 84, 85 miles an hour. And he throws a hard cutter at like 92, 93. That's a good pitch as well. So you're kind of seeing three different really hard pitches that move differently. And then he'll mix in a changeup every so often as well. And he's throwing strikes. He's getting deep into games. He's efficient. I mean, he was landing his fastball consistently. I remember one at bat. I think it was his second at bat that he faced Acuna, maybe in the fifth or sixth inning, and just froze Acuna on a couple of fastballs. And I think he actually got squeezed on one prior that should have rung him up. And he rung up Acuna looking, and that's hard to do. And just navigated that Braves lineup and carved them up and showed his nasty stuff. So if he can stay healthy and maintain this, which is a big if, I think Crochet is definitely a name to go after. I was really aggressive with him. I wanted to make sure that I got him in my Earth League this week. I'm in the New England chapter, so the Nerf chapter. I won a couple years ago. I lost last year, had a poor showing. Got to get back to what I was doing prior. So I have a really good team. And I need a little bit of more pitching. I aggressively went in on Crochet. I overshot it by about $80 in FAB, but I wanted to commit what I thought would 20%. I think he's a worthwhile gamble there, especially early in the season, to try to get all of his numbers. I got that Brave start in, feeling pretty good. So Crochet is a guy that I have been able to get some places. I'm going to send out some trade offers, maybe see if he gets roughed up a little bit, gives it 3 runs, you know, and then I'll just send out the trade offers. Right now, maybe not the best time, but I like Crochet a ton. So he's the first guy that I'm going to call out. Do you have another one that you want to call out, Don?
Well, I want to talk about Crochet for a sec. Yeah. What I like about it is, like, Tanner Houck did really well, but it was one start and it was against Oakland. So, like, how much can you say that he dominated? Yeah, basically, I'm kind of what I'm saying about Imanaga against Colorado. But like Crochet, like you said, he went against Atlanta. He also went against Detroit. So he's done it twice. So he's already thrown 13 innings, which is like near the top of the leaderboard. So it's not like a just a one fluke. So I really like that. I have the in season metric that I'm always talking about, which is kind of like last 4 to 6 weeks, where it's sort of like present performance and like Statcast and underlying and all this stuff, and I blend it with projections, blah blah blah. And he's in the top 15, and that's
it's like acquiring Scooble like in season. That's kind of how I felt like it could be. So yeah. I didn't feel bad about going crazy on it, but continue.
No, so it's basically like, and that's with he's only projected to throw like 120 innings compared to like Wheeler and Pablo Lopez who are going to throw 188 according to projection. So like even with the lower innings, he's still like projected rest of season via my thing to be, top 15. So great, great call out. I wasn't willing to risk going too much after the one start. And that's the trick with redraft and fab is how much can you rely on what they've done recently? How much can you take a gamble on, a prospect being called up and then hasn't debuted yet? Like, you don't know. You have to take a shot. If you don't take your shot, you won't have the person. So, it's a very, very thin tightrope to walk there. So kudos to you. So yeah, I do have a guy right underneath Garrett Crochet on my list. That's very same metric is Jared Jones, who threw 5 2/3 against the Marlins with 10 strikeouts. He looked great. The stuff plus numbers on the fastball and the slider looked very good. We were really happy he made it as the fifth starter for the Pirates. He threw 120 innings last year. So like it's conceivable he can go 150. I just really like the stuff. I like the composure. I like, the competitiveness. He looks really good. Again, the sort of the theme of the day. It's been one start and it hasn't been against a powerhouse offense. So take that with a grain of salt, but I really like what Jared Jones was showing. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he does this year.
Yeah. And just as luck would have it, I think Jones starts tomorrow. So as this podcast is hitting the airwaves, he'll be facing off against Grayson Rodriguez, which is a pretty good matchup of two young, really exciting starters. I like Jones quite a bit as well. I think the stuff is great. I think it was Eli Benpor, our colleague at Baseball America, who does some writing for us, who kind of put the Spencer Strider comp out there, and I think it's accurate. Like, smaller guy, kind of the same size as Strider, similar traits, lot of ride in the fastball for a lower release because he's a smaller guy. He gets a ton of extension for a smaller guy as well. It's a really good slider and we'll see where it goes. But he's got opportunity in that rotation. I'd be shocked if Paul Skeens isn't joining him pretty soon. And that Pirates team, at least from a pitching standpoint, looks really interesting. And then you have a guy like Bubba Chandler lurking around and, some other arms like Braxton Ashcroft who could come up and be a potential weapon out of the bullpen. it could be a high powered pitching machine there in Pittsburgh, which fits the ballpark. It would be a lot of fun sort of watch that develop. But I think Jones is an absolutely tremendous call out. Absolutely. He's somebody that I kind of wish I had more shares of, for sure. I'll be honest. I don't know if I really have another one, because Jones is somebody that I was going to call out too.
Oh, I'm sorry. But I just want to talk about Pittsburgh for a sec, because Quinn Priester actually is kind of leading the early RoboScout AAA based on his one outing. And sure. I wanted to call out we'll give you some time to think of another guy who's impressed you, is Ryan Borucki in the bullpen for the Pirates.
Oh, yeah.
I have my in-season bullpen metric as well, and he's looks like he's added a tick to his sinker and his slider. Yeah. He's throwing 95. The slider is like 88. He's getting chases. He's getting whiffs. He's getting strikeouts. He's been throwing in high leverage too. It's not like his leverage rating or leverage index is low. Like, he's been put into like high leverage situations. I don't know if it's by design or if it just happens to be like it's a close game where the win probability is volatile. But like him and Aroldis and Bednar, like that bullpen looks good too. So the starters you're talking about, Quinn Priester lurking, Bubba Chandler lurking, like the Pirates, pretty interesting. And of course, you know, O'Neill Cruz and all the guys they have on offense, Henry Davis, Cabrian Hayes, like it's a pretty interesting team. It's kind of exciting to be a fan of Pirates, I think, right now.
Yeah, so I agree with you there, and I'll even piggyback onto that a little bit. And just say Paul Skeens is probably another player that I wish I had some more shares of, even just in terms of a stash, because I think he's going to be up soon. We saw what he did in his AAA debut, just absolutely dominated over three innings. I think he's going to come up. I think he's immediately going to be an impact arm. He's going to get strikeouts. He's going to limit, you know, hard contact in the air. Going to get some ground balls with that splinker that he's throwing now. I like the variation of his pitch mix. Everything is hard. And he's kind of varied his slider a little bit too. So I wonder if he's going to maybe show a couple of different slider shapes. I don't think we've fully seen what he could be. There's a sneaking suspicion that almost Bobby Miller-esque, right? Where we're waiting for them to just like unleash what he really can be, because he's showing these little bits and spurts of all these different things and tricks that he has in his bag. So Skeens is actually a guy that I wish I had a few more shares of, for sure. So it'll be my second call out, and then I'll throw a baby one out here. Ronaldo Lopez looked pretty good. I did get a couple shares of him in like DC that I'm in and a couple other spots where he was fairly low risk, and he looked pretty good. You know, I'm interested in a player like that, especially in a wins league where being in the Braves, going five or six innings, he's not going to get a ton of strikeouts, but the stuff is good enough. He gets ground balls. I just feel like he could go five to six innings on a consistent basis, get you 14 wins, and maybe have an under four ERA, and you know, kind of help your ratios a little bit, but not kill you in Ks. So he's another one that I'm kind of like, I wish I had a few more of him. You call that Tanner Houck. He's another guy that I think is even though it was against the Athletics, still, it's interesting stuff how that could all develop. That Red Sox rotation actually just generally is I feel a little bit undervalued. I had somebody say that to me this offseason. I kind of disagree with them. Now I'm looking back on it and been like, those might have been prescient words, perhaps. But Dylan, we've talked some players we have some regrets on. Let's talk about some players that have some injuries. Unfortunately, so Yuri Perez announced or was announced by the team today that he's having Tommy John surgery. So he's going to be on the shelf until probably the second half of 2025 at this point. Still very young. I don't think it impacts his dynasty value tremendously, but it does hurt a little bit just in the right now.
Yeah, terrible. We kind of hinted a couple weeks ago that it didn't look good. Just sort of like the news that was coming out was kind of ominous. Seeing the same surgeon that worked on Sandy Alcantara, and so it's like, ooh, is this worse than we think? And of course, it was our worst fears would be the TJ, and that's exactly what it was. So yeah, huge blow. Not just to those who who roster him in Dynasty and redraft this year, but just baseball in general, just an electrifying talent, just a great pitcher to watch. And that Marlins team, I know they've just been decimated by injuries. Their whole starting staff from last year basically is on the shelf. But yeah, that's a huge blow for Yuri Perez. Kind of a bummer news for sure.
And I think if you roster him in Dynasty, you just got to hold at this point. You got to hold on to him, and because you're not going to get the right value back, right? You're going to have to wait until he's coming back. And I know it's a long road ahead, but those guys lose a ton of value and then gain it back real quick. Like, we could be talking about Shane McClanahan beginning of next year going back to his almost ace-like form. And then all of a sudden he's back up ranking, you know, well within the top, whatever, 60 in Dynasty rankings or something like that. I think it's going to be the same with Yuri. So, you know, you got to hold out on this one. Don't trade him when he's about to come back, or when there's like that news lurking where someone can get a discount on him and you're sick of holding on to him. Just be strong. This is a hold. You got to do it. I feel like you traded for him, you drafted him, you know, you're stuck with him through the good times. He's still going to be very, very young when he comes back. And there's a lot of runway to have him gain value back and then trade him at that point when he could get injured again. So I'm saying you got to hold for a few years here, Dylan. I don't know if you have different advice on it.
I totally agree. I mean, he's only 20, so like, it's not like he's at the end of his career and this is going to be the end of it for sure. I think the timing is actually not too bad. Like, I was in a situation a couple of years ago when Glasnow went down, and it was like halfway through the season and I was competing. And so it was like, oh no, I've come this far, and is it going to crash down? And so I actually traded him. I got pennies on the dollar, but I needed to get like some arms to like sustain me through the home stretch. And so I think, you're not in that situation now with Yuri. You're going to miss this season. It's too early to like, you know, maybe you're not in it and you can kind of give up now. You haven't kind of committed to what you're going to do this year. He's going to come back next year in the middle of the season. There's still a lot of time there. So it's not that bad. Whereas like with the Glasnow, you're missing that season that had happened and then the whole following season. So I think the silver lining, I guess, with a Tommy John is that it happened early enough that, you know, you still have a lot of paths and options for this season and beyond.
Yeah, I think that is a perfect way to sort of put it. And you just can't jump out there and make panic moves with a player like Yuri Perez. I did something similar actually a few years ago with Glasnow. So that struck a chord with me. Another injury with Josh Young, broke his wrist, I believe, and he's going to be out for at least a couple of months as he recovers from this. It's also a wrist injury, and we know how wrist injuries, hamate, all those sort of things can impact hitters and sometimes sap power in the initial return. Young has been a problematically injury-plagued player. If you've rostered him over the last couple of years, there's always an injury lurking. You know, it probably would have been smart to move him this offseason, frankly. He is a little bit older. He's going to miss some time, obviously, this year. He will be back. But, you know, I could see taking a discount on Young if you're able to trade him out with something else and, you know, add a better third baseman in the interim, even in Dynasty. I think that's something you have to do. What's your take on Young, and how would you handle him in Dynasty?
I think you're right. I mean, he's 26, right? He's older than you think. And that's kind of why I was a bit lower on him. I know you weren't that high either. In the third base ranks, I know I got a bunch of questions like, how could Josh Young be so low? But it is, he's older. And so he's kind of like at his prime. There's not that much upside to go. Whereas, you know, like Corbin Carroll and Julio Rodriguez, they're still ascending in their performance, but Young is what it is. In a way. So I think he's kind of not overrated, but he's like very well regarded and thought of as still kind of young and like a young up and comer, which isn't wrong. But it's not as much as you think. Like, it's not like, I can't think of someone, but obviously someone younger than Josh Young, someone in their early 20s who are just coming up and going to dominate for a decade. Obviously, the good thing is with the Rangers, so you have that on your side if you try to trade him. And I do think I would trade him. I would try to move him to a team that's rebuilding. He's only out for 2 months. It's not like for the year. It's not like Tommy John, etc. So I think I would move him. I don't have him in any redraft either. And he started off pretty strong too, so I was a bit regretting that. But yeah, I don't know. Just a terrible blow again when these guys are going down. I mean, it's so early. Like we were talking about early at the beginning of the season, beginning of the podcast, that it's only been a week, and all these guys are just going down, and it's going to have significant impacts to redraft races.
Yeah, and I tended to be a little bit more lukewarm on Young just simply because of the strikeout rate, the walk rate. There is some power there, et cetera, and also what the injury history has been, that it always just seems like there's always something lurking around the corner with this guy. It's not quite Nick Senzel levels, but it's close, but he's just been a more productive major league player. I have him in one sort of keeper-ish league. It's my home league, where I have some pitching injuries, but I think Nick Lodolo could be returning pretty soon. So it's just sort of a easy swap there that will happen. I ended up going, it's shallower, so I added Eugenio Suarez, which I felt okay about. You know, there's some other players lurking out there, so it's a situation in a league where, like, it's a points league, it's not the end of the world. I can kind of ride the hot hand and find another third baseman. I only have to find one in a 12-team league where there aren't a lot of, there's usually only one bench hitter rostered per team, because that's the minimum that we can roster, and everybody else is obviously rostering starters so they can roll those guys out there. But that being said, Dylan, why don't we take a quick break here, and then we'll talk a little prospect team and wrap this sucker up. What do you say?
Let's do it.
All right.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Why do I use Indeed for our hiring at Baseball America? Because it takes so much of the busy work out of hiring and does it for me. I can find highly qualified candidates in one place, set up interviews, and communicate with them all on Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualification preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So you use Indeed. As you use it more, the better it gets. And listeners to this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Baseball America. Just go to Indeed.com/Baseball America right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Baseball America. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we are back. All right, Dylan, that was an excellent break. If you ask me, I don't know what we were selling, but I'm sure it was something that was valuable and you should go out and buy it. All right, Dylan, let's talk some breakout teams here. We're not going to go through the whole team, but we had some common players on our breakout teams. I believe in Logan Evans was one that was on both of our squads. I'm really excited about this player. Assigned to AA. It hasn't even debuted yet. They really sort of like, so, you know, they took him to West Coast Customs and like pimped his ride, like pimped his entire arsenal. He's throwing a sinker and a four seam fastball. They're both upper 90s now. The upper 90s sinker really gets me kind of going too, because it's great shape. And then you mix that in with a nasty sweeper. Josh Norris, our colleague at Baseball America, posted some video of it. You can go and see some of those sweepers. I think JJ might have shot some video as well that was really good. But you get a real feel for just how much that pitch moves. There's a curveball as well. I think he's mixing in a cutter. It's a really interesting mix. And this is a name that he's on my breakout pitching prospect article that I'm trying to get finished up tonight to have out for all you readers on Friday morning. He's really exciting. So I know Logan Evans was one player that was on both of our lists, Dylan. So I don't know if you had anything else you wanted to add on Evans.
No, you nailed it there. I think it was all three of us. I think Matt Eddy had him too. And I think another one, and maybe this is a segue here, is Kyle Carr of the Yankees, who you got the chance to see live. Really like that name too. I don't want to steal your thunder. So why don't you go into Kyle Carr there and talk about everything he's bringing.
Yeah, he's another guy that's going to be on my breakout pitching prospect. He was in Josh's 70 prospects that made noise on the backfield. Just sort of incredible, the work that Josh did on that article, by the way. So shout out to him. But I am really, really excited about Kyle Carr, left-handed pitching prospect for the Yankees. Was drafted this year out of the JUCO ranks. A little bit younger. I think he spent 1 year, I forget where it was, I have to remember, and then transferred to, is it Palomora? Dude, I'm an idiot for not having this in front of me. Junior college in California, ends up getting drafted. He's got a cut fastball in like the low 90s, but it's really interesting shape and he can land it. And there's a great sweeper there. It's ride, there's sweep. Low 80s pitch, but really, really good. And he just has a great feel for spin. So that's one guy that, yeah, I think all of us had. I'm interested to see where it goes and sort of like what his third pitch is that he develops, or if maybe he even adds like a sinker. It's kind of an interesting mix in terms of what he does. I'd love to see him add something like a sinker that goes arm side or split or something like that. But he's a really interesting one for me. So yeah, I like the Kyle Carr call out. That's a good one for sure.
Yeah, no, you kind of said he might get the Chase Hampton treatment in terms of the buzz that he gets, and that that opened my eyes and I alighted off that information.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that he's a guy that internally we had some information on pretty early coming in the offseason that the Mariners were, excited about Evans. And then, we kind of rolled it in that we knew that the Yankees were excited about Carr. Some of that offseason information was really good. I think Josh might have even had Carr at number 10 in the Yankee system. So just goes to show that, he's somebody that's always doing his work, that Josh Norris, my good friend, the Bear. So, in terms of the rest of the breakout teams here, I'm really, really interested to hear about some of the other guys that you had picked if you have your squad in front of you.
I do. I tried to go, the constraints of the exercise were find kind of lower level guys who are not really close to the top 100. And I personally wanted to go kind of bolder as well. Not just take like the RoboScout guys who are near the top, because I've talked about them all year. I have underrated prospects in RoboScout articles and stuff who are also touched on. So I wanted to go kind of outside the box there, but I had to have my guy, Josue Briseño of Detroit, the catcher. He was always near the top of RoboScout. I was always tentative on pulling the trigger in my leagues just because, the defense wasn't rating that well. And he's a catcher who's 18. So like, he's got a long way to go. So it's not really the greatest investment bang for buck, but it just, he had the fourth highest barrel rate. I talked about in the article, 13th highest OPS, 18th lowest strikeout rate amongst all Florida complex league hitters who are 20 years or younger. And he's 18 with at least 100 plate appearances. I really like the bat. I hope he can stick a catcher. I think the defense has improved a bit this spring from what I've seen and heard. So I had to have Josue Briseño.
Yeah. And he just, he hits the ball hard. I think he was on both of our teams. There were some other catchers that I think were options. We could have kind of cheated and said Duno. I said Darian Lorenzo, but I can tell you that in our top 100 update, both those guys are going to be added, definitely Lorenzo, and then it's a matter of Shanuel getting enough at-bats to graduate. If he does, in fact, get enough at-bats to graduate, then Duno is going to slide onto the list. So that's a little little teaser there for you. But, yeah, I mean, Briseño just hits the ball so hard that it's sort of just like hard to ignore. He had a home run in the backfields, had a double in the breakout game that was 111 miles an hour off the bat. And the body was better. You know, I think there's still some questions about bat speed, but he makes a lot of contact. The underlying data, like I think the in zone whiff rate, if I remember, was like 16%, which is plus. And making that kind of hard contact, it's kind of hard to write off a guy like Bursueno. So yeah, I like him a lot. And by the way, that name is spelled Briceno. For those of you listening and just don't have the name in front of you, I know it's sort of a hard one to put out there. Guy that I want to call out for my team is Yoefri Rodriguez. Really good reports in spring training. Another guy from the Brewers that skipped, Arizona Complex League play. They did this with Louie Lora. They did this with Jackson Churio. I think he leans a little bit more on the Churio side of things, just in terms of, you know, what he can do. You know, there's a little bit more power. I think I called it out in one of my articles this offseason, looking at 90th percentile leaders that had contact ability as well at a certain age. And he was a guy that ranked really, really highly. So I think there's power there. There's bat speed. There's some more projection. I think there's some field to hit. I'm really excited for what he does. And, you know, he's one of those guys that's going to be with the Carolina Mudcats. So that means that our friend Josh Norris is getting a lot of shout outs today in this podcast. Josh, don't get your head too big. But yeah, I mean, he's a guy that's going to get a lot of looks on him. So I'm excited to see some exciting Yoefri Rodriguez video. I don't think he was on your list, but I do think he was listed as like an additional other outfielder underneath your guys. I don't think we had any other common names if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I don't think so. Did you have Robert Calaz of Colorado? He was one of my outfielders. Did you have
him? I had him as another name, but I knew that you wrote him up, and I wrote him up a lot. And there were so many different outfielders to write up. I almost wrote up Jason Churio, but I ended up actually erasing it and not including him. I had Johnny Farmello, though, who's gotten some exciting call-outs with his speed and ability. You actually had a Brewers pitching prospect that I saw on the Cape pre-draft. I really liked how sort of easy everything was, but the stuff wasn't super popping in terms of velocity. Brett Winchkowski, Wichorowski from the Brewers, Bryant, right-handed pitching prospect, I believe got drafted last year, like in the 13th round. Mm-hmm. Added a ton of velocity. He's now sitting upper 90s, and it's like a wacky low slot right-handed arm action, and he gets like a ton of like arm side run in that fastball. So with that velocity, it's a pretty nasty look, plus some sweepers and a cutter. So I thought that was a really good call out as well. I don't know if you had anybody else you wanted to mention.
No, I like the Wichorowski. These are the guys that were kind of quiet in the off season, and then when they show up at spring training and they've added 3 miles an hour, 4 miles an hour to their arsenal, it's like, you know, you have, obviously have to sit up and take notice. So I like these guys that are kind of coming out of the blue. I really like that. I saw some footage, and it's just like him and Mizureski, like the Brewers, like if those guys are both in the pen, like it's just, it's like the nasty boys of the Cincy Reds. Just look out. And if they can make it both as starters and succeed, that would be just fantastic. I think my last guy, that kind of the one that is kind of, I'm taking a flyer on, is Aiden Smith of Seattle. At the complex, in very, very small sample, he did quite well. He showed up quite well on RoboScout, and then he went to low A, and he kind of struggled a bit. But it's just like, I like the athleticism. He plays excellent center field defense. I really like what the Mariners are doing, both sides of the ball, hitting and pitching development. You know, as much as the pitching development gets all the kudos, as well it should, like the hitting development's also great. They got so many guys in the system coming through, Colt Emerson, Lazaro Montes, all these guys have kind of met or exceeded expectations. And I kind of am gambling here that Aiden Smith, just based on the athleticism and the defense, which will give him a lot of run, is going to turn some heads this year. That's what I'm hoping.
And that's just such a loaded Modesto team as well that he's on. It's going to be must watch every night. I know it's going to be like one of those teams where I love that they're on the West Coast because I can get back from maybe going to a game out here and still keep up with Modesto when I kind of settle in. I'm cutting video and I have them in the background. It's like Colt Emerson, Lazaro Montes, I think Arroyo's back in that lineup. Barmelo's on that team. Aiden Smith, just going to be star-studded team all around. So really excited to see what they do. And a couple of our breakout picks on that as well. You know what, Dylan? I think we've given the people enough for this week when it comes to the breakout picks, et cetera. So I say we wrap this number up nice and tight, about 40 minutes here. We talk some breakout picks. We talk some injuries, unfortunately. And we started the show with some regrets, some players that we wanted to add or, you know, wish we had more stock of. So good week overall. And hopefully we're visiting next week and we're chatting and your teams are doing better and my teams are still doing well. And we can rejoice in more baseball being played. So with that being said, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Baseball America Fantasy Podcast. For Jeff, for Dylan, thanks for tuning in.
And welcome back.